My name is Rosemary Neves, and I am with Doreen Mickelson, and it is March 14th, 2016. And Doreen is at Pleasant Valley Lodge, and she is going to talk about her family. But before we get into that, I want to go through some of her relatives in terms of history. And so Doreen's full name is Doreen Mary Mickelson. And her maiden name was Doreen Mary Harper.
Right.
And her father's name was Sidney Smith Harper.
Right.
Her mother's name was Marguerite Jesse Voss, V-A-S-S.
Right.
And Doreen's birthday was April 23rd, 1933. She was born in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Mm-hmm.
And her spouse in later years was James Axel Mickelson. Okay, let's start out this morning, or this afternoon, I should say, with some of the things that we had talked about the other day,
mm-hmm.
where you had said that you'd like to start out with your childhood in Winnipeg, and just talk a little bit about that. So, you were born in Winnipeg. Would you like to talk a bit about your family?
Well, that was the grandparents' home. We didn't live in Winnipeg, actually, although I did go to school there a couple of times because of the fact that my dad was transferred back and around with the railway, and sometimes it wasn't convenient, so I would go to Winnipeg and stay with aunt and uncle. And
okay, well, you were actually born in Winnipeg, though,
I was
right?
Actually born in Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm. So you would go back to Ontario then?
We would go back to Ontario.
Oh.
And it wasn't not right away because we weren't. We went from Winnipeg when I was born there. I went to Fort William, is where we lived.
Oh, I see.
When I started school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there when the war, Second World War took place.
Okay.
I saw the newspaper prints on the people's doorsteps.
Oh, is that right?
And then from there we moved to Port Arthur, which is just their twin cities.
Yes, yes.
And my dad was still with the CNR, of course, all the time. And so we moved there. And I went to schools there, two different schools there.
And did you have sisters or brothers?
I had an adopted brother.
Oh, yes.
He was actually a blood relation.
Uh-huh.
But I won't go into that.
Yeah. And what was his name?
I forget what his second name was, but he went to, by Harper.
He went with Harper. Okay.
Yeah. He's passed away since.
Yes. So you were moving quite a bit because of the CNR.
Right, because of the CNR, we moved around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
From Redditt to Sulicote to Fort William to Port Arthur and back. And sometimes I went to school in Winnipeg just to take piano lessons from Redditt because there was no piano teacher around.
Oh my goodness. So does that mean you would take a train down to Winnipeg?
A train to, from, and that's where I was, well, I was going to school, actually, when the train wreck came. The Dugald wreck.
Okay.
There was about 39 people killed or something like that. I've got the write-ups at home for that. But I was going to Winnipeg to stay with an aunt, to go to school to take grade 10.
Mm-hmm.
And next morning when I went to school, there was an assembly And they told me that I found out, and there was several students from the school that I was going into had been killed in the wreck.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So it wasn't unusual for students to travel from Northern Ontario down
right.
to Winnipeg?
Well, the school there just went up to grade 9 and read it.
Oh, yes.
It's just a small town school. Went to grade 9, and so you had to go elsewhere, or else you went to Kenora
mm-hmm.
South. But we didn't have family in Kenora, so I went to Winnipeg with my aunts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed with an aunt and uncle.
I see. And your grandparents were there too.
Well, they were long gone by that time.
By that time, I see. Well, you had a lot of traveling.
Right. I went to 10 schools.
Did you really?
Right. Between Fort William, Port Arthur, twice in Port Arthur, two different times, and two different schools. And then Redditt and Sulicote.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Sulicote when the war brides were coming back from the Second World War.
Can you tell me a bit about that?
Well, yes, we had to cross the tracks coming from school, and all the war bride trains were there. Coming through, and they had their diapers all hand washed and hanging in the windows and in the coaches. You could see that, all these diapers there drying. So they had quite a time coming through, but we, that was our highlight of the day when we'd come from school, because we had to cross the tracks to where I lived.
Well, you would be seeing. Presumably women who had married
soldiers
overseas.
Yes, and then they came home with their...
With the children.
They came home with their babies.
Oh, my.
To meet their new in-laws.
That makes quite a picture in your mind, doesn't it?
Right. I can remember all these things.
Yes.
And actually, in Sulicote, my mother had all sorts of aunts and uncles and cousins and whatnot. There was about 30 relations just in that town that were all related to my mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple from my dad's side, too.
Mm-hmm. And your dad traveled all over, didn't he?
Well, at first he was a storekeeper for the CNR.
Yeah.
And so that's where he was, from Fort William, well, from Winnipeg and Fort William and Port Arthur, Sulicote. And Redditt. And then when from Redditt he was transferred as supervisor of first aid to go up to the PAW in Manitoba. And he was supervisor of first aid, and he looked after it, the things there then, as the first aid supervisor, and that's what he was for the rest of his days with the railway.
And that would be between...
About 1950.
1950.
I think about there.
Yeah.
Because he left from there and came back to Edmonton and became supervisor of first aid. And as that, with that position, he was in charge of Alberta, BC, and the Yukon. We're setting up first aid classes.
Oh, I see.
And my mother had a number of foster children that she gave a new life to, single parents. And she went through 30 some odd. A lot of them were babies from the Misericordia Hospital. And afterwards, when it got to be too much for her, because she didn't have a dryer to wash all these diapers, she went to work at the Misericordia Hospital in the pediatrics, and they had a picture on the wall in the Misericordia of Grandma Harper in the Misericordia Hospital. So it's probably long gone, but
What a woman, eh?
Right.
Because that takes a lot of patience and energy to take in children over the years like that.
Yeah. She was 30 or 31, and she had a scroll, and all their names were in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it, but I don't know if I think it's probably gone now. I did have it up in my closet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she just kept a record of all the children that came across her threshold.
Right, and babies.
Yes. So in terms of yourself, how did you move from... Well, let's talk a bit about your employment, because you ended up working through the CN too, didn't you?
Yes, but first when I finished high school in the PAW, I went to work for National Fruit, Scott National Fruit.
Okay.
And I was... I looked after the general office and all the finances that came in. The salesman would come in and cash in with me, and I'd take it to the bank, and I'd write up all the sales papers and make copies and to send them out to all the customers, all the storekeepers,
uh-huh.
from the PAW up to Churchill and Flin Flon. I think I got Flin Flon too a little bit. And then the salesman come in and cash in, and I'd take the money to the bank. So that was interesting.
Sounds like a big job.
Right. Well, it was fun, but I mean, I wasn't. It didn't bother me. So, and then the bank was just a block away, so they could see me going in the door of the bank, so they'd see that nobody hit me over the head.
Was that your first job?
First full-time job. Mm-hmm. I had worked after school and Saturdays at a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
For a while before that,
mm-hmm.
when I was in grade 11 and 12 there.
Okay. Did you take clerical training or bookkeeping? Or?
I did, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I took that in grade 10, actually, when I was in Winnipeg.
I see.
Because they didn't think I could handle the grade 10 course, so they said, well, you better take commercial. So I took commercial, and I got my shorthand and typing there.
And you were off.
I was off, off and running.
So after the PAW and the work that you
then
did
we,
there...
Then we moved to Edmonton.
And the whole family, like yourself and your parents?
And my parents, yeah.
Uh-huh. So that's how you got to Edmonton.
Then we moved to Edmonton. And then I went to Alberta College just briefly, just to upgrade my shorthand, make it refresh it, because I hadn't been using my shorthand.
No.
And... So I refreshed it up, and I worked for Edmonton Telephones for a short time. And then our choir leader and organist at our church called me, and he says, we've got a job for you over here at the CN Telecommunications. And so that's where I changed and moved over there. And I was in that office for about 11 years, working for the superintendent and the secretary and his... the office manager, doing shorthand and typing.
That shorthand is a lost art, isn't it?
Right, pretty well. Well, actually, I had started with Greg, with my dad, and then I changed to the other one.
You mean there's two kinds of shorthand?
Yes. Yeah, there's...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Pittman.
Oh,
Pittman,
yes.
Is,
Pittman
is the regular one, which my dad had. But Greg was what they taught me in Winnipeg. So I had the Greg, and then I had some Pittman, too. So, in fact, my dad gave classes in Pittman courses when we lived it and read it.
Oh,
because nobody else in town could do it.
Mm-hmm. So, you mentioned a church that you were involved with.
Yeah, Wesley United Church.
Oh, which is now Robertson Wesley.
It's Robertson Wesley now.
Yeah.
It's not there anymore.
Yeah, but they merged, didn't they?
They merged, and then later on the other one went.
Mm-hmm.
I remember doing lots of things with the young peoples, the Matarts, used to attend that church.
Oh, is that right?
And they'd have us over, the young people group, come over to their place. And
that's the Mutart, what is now the Mutart?
Merle Mutart. And he was quite a character, because he'd meet you on the street going to church, and of course we wore hats in those days.
Sure.
And he says, "My, you have a lovely hat on today." But he had the young people come over to their home, and so that was nice. It wasn't far away. It was on Jasper Avenue.
Mm-hmm. And were you in the choir at that time?
I was in the choir, yes. That's mm-hmm. where I was in choir right from the fall in the church.
Long-term choir member, eh?
I was a choir member all the time.
Yeah. And you had been taking piano as a child, right?
I took piano lessons from her daughter is now became my aunt. She married my mother's stepbrother.
Okay.
But that was about the time I started school. I started piano lessons, and mm-hmm. I took them up until we were living in Redditt, I guess, and I started going into Winnipeg to take modern music, because there was no teacher there, and
mm-hmm.
but I still had my piano, so I'd go to Winnipeg every other week and take a piano lesson, and then come back, and then eventually the next year I didn't have time for piano lessons. I was going to high school again.
Yeah. So. You're in Edmonton, and you're working
for the CN Telecommunications.
Yes, for
about 10 or 11 years.
11 years, yes. And how did you come to meet Jim?
On a double blind date, when I was at the Edmonton telephones not long after I'd come to Edmonton.
Okay.
And it was a double blind date that a girl I worked with arranged. She knew the people,
mm-hmm.
she knew them both. And we went to St. Albert Community Hall, and it still stands. And we had a marvelous time dancing. I had a blue corduroy two-piece skirt suit.
Yes.
And they were doing the kind where you swing around all in a circle, you know, with your arms around the back. And somebody tripped. I ended up with my knees on the floor.
Oh, dear.
A little bit black on the knees, but we got to get came out.
Was that a regular get-together that they would have in that St. Albert Hall?
Well, that was just the ordinary, the regular
one.
Dance. It wasn't anything special. It was just...
It
was just close by, and
mm-hmm.
it was not far from where my Jim lived in Calder.
Oh, he was in Calder then.
He was a Calder fellow.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't that far from St. Albert.
No.
Anyway, and that's where that's history. History began there.
Mm-hmm. And was he a dashing young man?
Oh yes, the girls liked to dance with him. But they were doing one of these things where you put the arms over the guys' necks, and the girls they swing the girls around.
Ooh.
And then one of them tripped, and this is how I ended up on my knee.
Oh my. You didn't break anything, though?
No, it didn't break anything, but this didn't do wonders for my pale blue corduroy suit, dress suit.
I'm sure it didn't. So how long were you engaged in?
Well, we were engaged in about 53, I think,
mm-hmm.
because we were married in 54.
Okay. And you met in the early 50s?
Pardon?
You met in the early 50s then?
And we met around 1950, yeah, somewhere around there.
And you actually lived in Calder, didn't you?
Yes, we did. He had built a house behind his mother's house, and we did have a suite the first year winter we were married, but while he was building this house. And then we lived in the basement of that house, but we sold the house. And then we lived in the basement, and then in the meantime, we built on by the Breckenridge Dairy. It was Breckenridge Dairy. Avenue. West of 127th Street. And it was all bush behind us there.
Oh, okay.
And no running water. You ran and got it, or else you got it out of the rain barrel. And or else the water man came once a week to with drinking water.
Yeah.
But we were there until we moved to Athabasca.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a bit about how you came to move to Athabasca. I think you'd
Jim's dad and mother, when they were first married, she had worked in the White Lunch in Edmonton, and he met her, and he was Danish, and she was Ukrainian, and they met, and he had met some other Danes, and the Danes were Hans Arnfeldt and Alec Nielsen. And they said, well, there's a place up there at Athabasca, you should come up there. And they lived there, but they stayed there for, after she had her first baby, she decided she didn't want to be out in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And so they moved back to Edmonton.
Oh, I see. But in the meantime...
Then Jim was born, you see, and that's where he came from.
Okay.
And then he knew those people, so he started going. He bought Muriel Shoemaker's cottage just around the corner at Baptiste Lake.
So it was right on the lake?
Right on the lake, yeah. And the road beside it goes up to Nipshanks, where they lived it back there. And what they called Grandma Nipshank, the old grandmother, she lived just before that, on along that road, and she would make buckskin gloves and moccasins.
Oh, my.
And for him, and we still got some of those at home. But it was interesting.
Well, you actually bought a quarter then, did you?
We bought the Muriel Shoemaker's quarter there.
Yeah. And did you just sort of come out once in a while from the city?
Well, we'd come out when we could, you know, because
mm-hmm.
he was working as a carpenter. And
he was still doing carpentry.
And he was doing carpentry, well.
And building.
And building on the side, building his own, you know, houses to sell in his spare time.
My goodness.
But then he joined the fire department, you see, and in between there.
In Edmonton.
And so then... It became, he built a newer place there,
mm-hmm.
because there was no running water in that house, but there was bats up in the attic.
I'll believe that.
You can believe that. And I guess who had to chase the bats in the nighttime with a broom and a shirt around my head and a broom to hit them down. The cottage didn't last too much long after that.
You'd had enough of the bats.
We had enough of the bats. That was before we had any children.
Uh-huh. So, were you spending time out here while he was in the city then, right?
No, we were still living in the city.
Okay.
He would just come up on a weekend.
Okay.
Because he was busy building.
Mm-hmm.
And he built a number of houses, quite a number of houses.
And all in that Calder area?
Mostly in the Calder area, yes.
Yeah, well, I think, when I lived in Edmonton, that was right in that area where
right.
I discovered that Jim had built some of those houses.
Right. And then he built several more houses along the Crescent. It was a Crescent on 137th Avenue. And he built about every second house in that Crescent.
No kidding.
Right, he and his dad would help him.
I see.
Because he'd finished doing it full time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he would help Jim. And Jim was working with the fire department and building houses in his spare time.
And so when did you make the decision to relocate to Athabasca? Do you remember? Just generally?
Well, we didn't move up here until full time. Oh, we moved up here full time. It would be when Marianne was into going into grade 12. That's when we moved up here full time.
Oh, is that right?
Our second child. She was going into grade 10 when we moved here.
Okay. Can you just go back through the children? Like, firstborn was...
Yeah, Chris was the first one born.
Uh-huh.
And the second one is Marianne. And the third one is Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth one is Heather. Stussy now. And Carl is the youngest. And he lives on the home place now where we live.
Yes.
That we bought from Steve Yannick.
Okay.
And it's the same road I forget her. I can't even think the name now. But Chris and Bradfield's.
Oh, yes.
Bradfield's and...
Karen, is it?
Karen Bradfield, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Hasn't been well. I don't know. And her husband has not very well either, last I heard. But there's a gal that lived just beyond them, and she lives by the church. And, oh, she's a widow now, so...
Mm-hmm.
I forget her last name.
I wouldn't worry about that.
No.
So you started to farm out here?
Well, part time.
Mm-hmm.
He took it and people rented it out for a while. But he did have, when he started, well, he was, he, we started and actually farming in Cardiff on the way down, before we got to Athabasca. We were there for a while, and that's where he started to get dairy cows. And so he had milk cows, which I knew nothing about. And we had a neighbor in her 90s, I think, who came down to help me just as I was having trouble with a new calf that was coming, and I had never calved a cow.
And Jim was in the city?
Jim was in the city.
Uh-oh.
But Mrs. Waterman, her name was, and she came down, and she got her hands in there, and she said, now you pull, and I'm pulling the rope. And just as the calf came out, there's Jim up at the back door. With the groceries.
And the calf survived?
This the calf survived. That was my first experience of calving.
Wow.
I had never had any experience at all with cattle. So.
No.
So no. It was interesting.
Because you'd spend a lot of time in Ontario.
Right.
Rock and... Blueberries and
rock
so
and blueberries, right? And lakes.
Yes, yes.
Lots of lakes.
Yeah. So you continued on once you got to Athabasca with dairy cattle as well?
He switched it right to dairy cattle, and they became registered. He got the registrations and that.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, the colony, the
Hutterite
colony, they used to come over for coffee because they were interested in the cattle, and they were trying to improve their herd. So Jim says, well, why don't you join the government one plan, and you'll have registered cattle and everything. And so we got them set up in that, and that's what they did. They followed the and followed up, and they did well with it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Old Eli used to come over, and they'd elect, and he and his I think one son used to come over, and they'd watch television because they didn't have television in the colony. So I became acquainted with them too.
Yes. Any of the women come?
I don't Can't recall them coming. It might have been one or two, but I don't. It was pretty well just
the men,
the father and the sons.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
But they enjoyed sitting by the fireplace and watching television.
Oh, sure. And you would have had, I know you must have had chickens because...
Yes.
Yes, I remember dropping in one time and Jim presented me with a chicken.
Right. We had chickens there too. I got to learn how to have to get a chicken because I had never done anything like that in my life.
Mm. Steep learning curve.
But we managed, and I had to separate. Yeah, we separated and sold the cream.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we didn't keep too many calves. We'd sell the calves after a while, after
mm-hmm.
they're raised.
Mm-hmm. Did you actually make your own butter at one time?
Oh, yes. After, I used my blender. But I didn't make too much butter. We used to bring the cream can to town most of the time, where the creamery was on Main Street up there, and I used to take the cream cans there. And one time, I took the cream cans and I'd pick them up one next time to town, but they changed it and they started taking the cans down by the river, and. I went to get my cans. Somebody said, "Your cream can, we just rescued it out of the river. Somebody knocked it into the river." But they had an old boxcar, and they started taking the cans there. The creamery started taking the cans there and leaving them there for us.
Oh.
But luckily, somebody grabbed it and with a pole or something, and they saved it, and I got the cream can back.
Mm.
Jim was away. Life is interesting.
Yes. So it was when Marianne was in grade 12, you said that you actually made the permanent move.
Yes. Yes, that's when she was in grade 12.
Mm.
So, and then there was five of them, so we went down the line.
So they got to learn what farming was all about.
They learned all about it.
What sort of things did you do for fun?
What did you do for fun?
Yeah, when you were out at the farm.
Go dancing.
Oh, it was dancing too?
Dancing down at Grossmont Hall.
Grossmont, okay.
When I wasn't changing diapers
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or else once in a while we'd get a babysitter
mm-hmm.
and go dancing. But that was only part-time, you see. It wasn't full-time. We didn't live on my farm up here, but in Edmonton we'd go dancing once in a while. We'd get somebody to babysit
mm-hmm.
and Jim's parents actually, we built them a house just down the block from us, so sometimes I'd take the kids over there and they'd babysit the kids, and then we'd take them back home. And we got back.
Oh. So that
was just the other end of the block.
In Edmonton.
In Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
In Wellington there.
Oh, yes. Wellington is all in that sort of area,
right,
isn't it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You were very busy people.
Right. I used
Goodness.
To sew dresses for the girls and myself.
Mm-hmm.
My mother-in-law went and bought some material, the same pattern. Wanted me to make it for her dress too. I made it, but one and only.
That sounds like a challenge. That one.
Right.
And in terms of the Athabasca time that you were out on the farm full time. Of course,
right.
Jim was still going back and forth for the,
right.
as a firefighter
right.
in Edmonton, right?
Right.
So you were still spending a fair bit of time by yourself,
right.
with the children,
right?
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting.
How would you define interesting?
Well, the waterman came once a week. And you did the laundry then, and one of the babies, the neighbor at the Breckenridge Dairy there, Mrs. Snowden, drove me to the hospital for one baby.
Oh. Now that was in the city.
That was in the city, yeah.
Yeah.
They were all born there.
Mm-hmm.
Royal Elk.
In terms of the life out here, it seems to me there was some reference to a small church, Winding Trail.
Well, there was, yes.
And you had said it was a United Church.
Yes, it was up where the Winding Trail School was. It was just up past Katonas on the way up to Armfeltz.
Mm-hmm.
And it was up there, and there was Winding Trail, and Jim built a, what do you call it?
Oh, it was that table.
Table at the back of the church. It's
beautiful
at the back of the church
table.
Now. He built that for the Winding Trail Church.
Was the Winding Trail Church just like a one room?
Yes,
like
just a small one, just a small
mm-hmm.
place. It hadn't been a school or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was used as a school before.
And it would just be the people around Baptiste Lake
right,
that would come.
Right.
And then eventually people just merged into the Athabasca United.
They started. See, the Armfeltz and Nielsen's used to go, and Katonas used to go. And eventually they go off to their own.
Mm-hmm. And I presume the minister was a traveling...
He wouldn't come every week, I don't think. Maybe once a month, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He'd have a service. But that was the communion table that Jim Benton made. There was their communion table for the church. But then now it sits at the back of the church in town.
Yes, in Athabasca. It is March 17th, 2016. My name is Rosemary Neves, and I am visiting with Doreen Mickelson. Mickelson spelled M-I-C-K-E-L-S-E-N.
Right.
And you say that's the Danish version, right?
That's the Danish style.
Yes, and that we are located at Pleasant Valley Lodge in Doreen's suite. We're picking up from the previous interview where we had talked about Doreen's life through a number of years, starting out in Manitoba and through to Athabasca. And Doreen and her husband Jim did a lot of traveling after you sort of semi-retired, right?
Mm-hmm.
So would you like to talk a bit about that?
Well, we went to Honolulu. We went to Honolulu on a trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was about the time he retired. And you getting it?
Yep.
And then we went to the East Coast as far as Newfoundland. And we made several trips to the West Coast. We used to go every winter to the West Coast, to Victoria, Vancouver and Victoria, but mainly Victoria. And then other than that, we also went to Hawaii.
Oh, yes. So that was North American travel, right?
Right.
Well, there was quite a few years that you went to Victoria every winter, didn't you?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go for a long time. We'd travel by train or by plane or by boat, whatever. And we traveled up to Alaska.
Oh, did you?
Yes. It's the father-in-law, at least the brother-in-law of... one of the singers, one of the Marian singers, I can't think of her name. She's not very tall. She used to be in our church choir at one time.
Okay, so you traveled with her?
Well, no, I'm just thinking we traveled to her brother-in-law's place in Alaska.
Oh, really?
And then and visited with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a nice time. That was up there, and we just saw we went right up quite a way up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then down and by boat and back into BC and took the train back home. But we traveled every year, pretty well every year, to Victoria for winters.
Do you remember how many years it was that you did that?
I have no idea how many years, but I don't know how many years it was since he retired. So
yes, well, yeah, I would be willing to guess it was probably close to 10 years.
Right, probably. But then he's been in hospital for several years now, so.
Yes. And didn't you go overseas as well?
Oh, yes, we went. We took a trip. First, we went around England, Scotland, and Wales.
Mm-hmm.
No, we didn't go to Wales. We went England and Scotland. And then we went to the mainland through Holland, France, Germany. The one, the Berlin Wall was still up.
Oh.
And we went over to Moscow.
Did you?
And
did you take the train through?
We took the train up through there. The Berlin Wall was still up, and we could see the soldiers in the, behind the trees with their guns, ready to see if he misbehaved.
In East Germany.
In East Germany, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Once you get past Berlin.
Yeah. So what were some of the areas that you really enjoyed over there, particularly?
Well, Moscow itself, they have the great museums and things.
Mm-hmm.
South of Moscow, there's big. There's a big building, and they have the people in the costume of the back in the days when...
Early days?
In the teens days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they take you up there. It was on a tour, and you go to. There was even a little pond where you could step on it, and there was a teeter totter little pond in there,
mm-hmm.
and all the flowers and everything, beautiful flowers there.
Yeah,
and they had the costumes of the century that they wore, they dressed for that. But on the way to Moscow and that, we stopped outside of Moscow, and we saw the I forget what it's called, that play where there's the live elephant, and they had that play going just behind our hotel.
Oh,
and I remember. I wanted to get a program, and you couldn't buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the little girl behind me had a program, and her parents had programs. So I offered her some money, for the program, and she gave me the thing, but her mother wouldn't let her take the. And I was going to give her some money.
Yes,
but her mother wouldn't let her take the money, but she. She gave me the program.
Oh.
it's funny to see things like that. And then we were down in Paris. I can remember we were going down this road in a taxi, I guess. And we came by the hotel where somebody was shot.
This was in Paris.
Yes, it was in Paris, and I forget it was. It wasn't a royal something. It was something to do with royalty or something. I can't recall it all, but I remember they had been there, and I think one of the princes had been there or something. And anyway, so they somebody tried to shoot them, you know.
Oh, my.
But that was, it was kind of a bit scary, but they pointed it out to us, you know, at the hotel. We went to, by my mother's family was the northwest of Scotland, Edinburgh. Oh, no, no. Peterhead and is the East Coast. That's where my dad came from. But my mother was from, I forget what it is, but where there's a big castle up in the northwest corner of England. And in there we found my grandfather's, the date of my grandfather's death in the First World War.
Is that right? We're talking with Doreen Mickelson, and it is March 17th, 2016. And Doreen is just continuing her story about some of the travel that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And this travel was that she's talking about is was within England. And you found your father's...
My grandfather's memorial, a name in the memorial building outside of it, Edinburgh Castle, I guess it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
wasn't that exciting?
And we snuck a picture of
Carl
pointing to this, to his name in the book.
Oh.
And I'm popping my camera into my purse because you're not supposed to take pictures in there. But I got my picture.
Oh, it was so it wasn't just you and Jim that did that trip.
Carl was with us.
Carl was with you.
He was, you know, a teenager.
Uh-huh. Well, that must have been quite an experience for
him
too.
Yeah. And we it was funny, we were coming down the stair of our hotel there and was one time over there, and I could hear some piano, and I looked down, here's Carl sitting at the piano downstairs in the hotel playing the piano.
Is that right? So you went to England and Scotland.
Yes, we skipped Wales.
You skipped Wales, and you skipped Ireland that time?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, no, we got Wales. We went to Wales, but we skipped to Ireland.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because Wales is part of Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And we also went to Paris and Netherlands and Germany. The Berlin Wall was still up.
Yes.
And we went as far as Moscow, Poland, and Ukraine. I guess we went through those places too. But I remember Moscow, and
mm-hmm.
going down three sets of stairs to get to the subway.
And you're taking a deep breath just thinking about that.
Yeah.
What about Denmark? Did you?
Denmark, yes, we visited with Jim's family.
Oh, did you?
His aunt was still there, and some friends were still, and cousins were still there.
Mm-hmm.
So we visited with them, and one of them came to Canada before that. Well, his aunt had come to Canada.
Hmm.
In fact, she came out to the farm, and she, no, the cousin came out to the farm, and she saw a bear coming on the road, on our road, and she was going to take the picture of the bear. We said, no, Eva, get in the house quick.
She'd never seen such a thing. Eh?
Never seen such a thing. And when we took her to Jasper Park, and she saw a bear there too. But she was ready to jump out of the car, and we said, no, Eva, stay where you are.
There was also, I understand, that a time when you actually visited the Queen. So maybe you could tell us about that, because not many people get that opportunity.
Right. Yes. Well, when Jim retired from the fire department,
right,
we went to Buckingham Palace. We had an invitation to go to Buckingham Palace to the garden party, and the Queen walked right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could tour the. Then you have tea there, afternoon tea with sandwiches, fancy sandwiches and sweets. And then you can walk through a little bit of the castle.
Okay.
To get out.
Yes. That's...
You can't take a camera or anything with you in there.
That's a large garden party, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And they walked right down the middle in front of you. People are wanting to take their pictures and whatever,
mm-hmm.
but you can't do that. You're not allowed.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you have to be approved before you're allowed to go into the garden party.
Mm-hmm. So I presume it was to do with the Commonwealth, was it? Representatives from all over the Commonwealth?
No, it was because of Jim's retirement.
Oh, okay.
He retired from the Edmonton Fire Department.
Mm-hmm. And there were so many opportunities.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So you don't always get those in.
No. And it was the two of you that went?
The three of us.
Oh, the three of you.
Well, Carl came with us that time.
Oh.
I think it was the same time. But he couldn't go to the garden party.
Okay. Are there any other holidays that you particularly remember?
Well, we went to Mexico,
mm-hmm.
down through there, and on holidays we'd go down there and visit. I visited there, I guess, so much, not so much Jim, but I visited down there with Marianne and Roy, our daughter and son-in-law.
Oh, yes.
And... But we did go to, we went to Australia once, and we toured around on a bus tour.
Mm-hmm. And that was
interesting.
That was
quite a few years ago.
That was you and Jim?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to New Zealand as well?
I don't remember going to New Zealand, but we did get to Australia.
Mm.
We were driving around
mm-hmm.
in a vehicle, in a bus, I guess it was.
Yeah, it was like a tour?
Tour bus sort
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Well, you've done a lot of things since retirement.
Right.
Right.
Before and after.
Yes. Yes. Well, when I think back over your stories and how much you did in terms of the farming and all that, it's I tip my hat to you.
It was a challenge for somebody who wasn't raised on a farm.
Yes, yes.
Jim had a little bit of experience, but not me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we made it.
Yeah, everything from churning some butter to making
right.
Making dresses and so on.
For my daughters and,
yes.
and myself.
Wow. Well, thank you very much, Doreen, for this.
You're welcome.
I've enjoyed it.
Well, I hope I get something out of it that you...
Oh, we will. And
uh-huh.
I'm sure your family, too.